think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Your campaign keeps a running list and keeps tweeting a running list of Donald Trump's fumbles and accidents and confused moments. That's what they call them, saying this is why his handlers won't let him debate, noting times that Trump has forgotten what state he's in, times that Trump has confused Obama and Biden, times he's confused Nikki Haley and Kristi Noem, and on and on. What exactly are you saying about Donald Trump's mental fitness? Do you think he's too old to be president?
So I've said publicly the presidency is not a job for an 80-year-old. Donald Trump would actually be older on January 20th, 2025 than Biden was on January 20th, 2021. But I think it's part of a larger issue that this is not the same guy as the Trump in 2015 and 16. That Trump would show up on the debate stage. He'd barnstorm. You know, yes, he was off color. He was edgy. But it was all part of an idea that he was really going to shake things up. Now he's wedded to the teleprompter. He's not willing to debate.
Those are the words of Ron DeSantis in response to a question from Jake Tapper, detailing how DeSantis' campaign is trying to put Donald Trump in the same box as Biden is in. Biden's in the basement. They're going to put Trump in a box because he would be pretty old, too. Now, keep this in mind. Biden turned 81 today. If he were elected for a full 4-year term, and I don't wish ill will to anyone, if he survived that, he'd be 4 more years past that, and then some, since the election isn't until next year. Trump at 77, 4 on today, he'd be exactly what Biden's age is today, a little bit older. So apparently the DeSantis campaign and obviously CNN and the rest of the state media always looking for whatever they can do to dismantle Trump. So he wanted to get DeSantis to acknowledge what he thinks of Trump being too old. Is he too old? Well, DeSantis made a point, which is true. Trump is not the same guy today as he was when he first ran. The vitality, the vigor, it's there. He has a lot of stamina. But why is he not on the debate stage? Now, many will say, and it's hard to argue against, if you're number one and you're way ahead of anyone else, why would you bother? Why would you give them any time at all? You've got nothing to lose. They've got everything to gain. Now, if you are going to elect someone strictly because of age and you want the youngest, Vivek comes forward. Vivek Ramaswamy, he is currently 38 years old. He said, if I'm elected, I'd be the youngest president ever. If you're thinking JFK was the youngest, he wasn't. He was 43 at the time. So the question is on the table about, is Trump beginning to replicate some of the things Biden has been singled out about, stumbling, bumbling, getting names confused, forgetting where he is, and so forth. I know that's happened some, but it pales in comparison to anything Biden has been doing. I think all of us at some point, maybe even in your 40s, you suddenly forget, where did I put my car keys? Can't remember where I put my car keys. And I'll admit, 55 is a tough age. I couldn't find my car keys. Yeah, you're right. I'm older than 55. But 55 is also a tough age. But I couldn't find my car keys the other day because I changed my routine. Then I suddenly, I don't know. And I'm trying to get somewhere in a hurry. I don't know how I'm going to get there. Well, stupid me found them. And, oh, by the way, when somebody says, have you looked everywhere? If they'd asked me that, I would have said yes. And then if they had asked, did you look in the freezer? I didn't look in the freezer. Well, then you haven't looked everywhere, have you? I did that to one of my daughters one time, and she went and looked in the freezer. It's not here, Daddy. I got it. I won't pull that trick on her anymore. We're going to get into more of the question really is, can DeSantis beat Trump? Latest polls out show that Trump is so far away from either candidate, Haley has a better chance than DeSantis. But DeSantis is beginning to show some improvement. Vivek is also still in the hunt. Chris Christie is just there to be the basically the strip they throw down in front of cars. They're trying to flee the scene of a crime, trying to puncture the wheels, slow it down a little bit. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 20, 2023. And if you're watching us, because we do stream video, you see a new image behind me. We'll be changing it up a lot. We have a new studio, new location, and love it here. It's great. And we'll be able to do a lot of things with the screen behind me that we haven't been able to do before. But I remind you, if you miss any of the streaming that's on News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or Rumble, or any of the other platforms we're on, I can't keep up with all of them. If you miss any of the audio, the video, and or the audio, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up anything you want from today, last week, last month. It's going to be there. Unless I decide, well, I didn't look very good in that one. I'm going to wipe that program out. Good luck with that. So the other question Tapper was really pushing for when he had this interview with Trump was, okay, let's say you, DeSantis, are not able to displace Trump. Can Trump beat Biden?
Are you and your campaign saying that he has lost his sharpness, his mental acuity, and are you saying he'll lose to Joe Biden?
Well, I wouldn't be running unless I thought that the Democrats would beat Trump if he were the nominee. I mean, they're going very easy on him right now. I mean, they're not saying much. The minute if he were to be the nominee, I mean, you're going to see scorched earth. You're going to see all this stuff brought up from the past. And the whole election will end up being a referendum on Donald Trump. And Biden will be able to hang out in the basement. And I think he'll be able to get away with it again. Look. When you get to this point, the presidency is not a job for somebody that's pushing 80 years old. I just think that that's something that has been shown with Joe Biden. Father time is undefeated. Donald Trump is not exempt from any of that. I think with somebody like me, you go in, you know, I'm in the prime of my life. I go in day one. I'll serve two terms, deliver big results, and get the country moving again. That's what Republican voters want to see.
Your question? Oh, yeah, I hear you. Your question, how old is DeSantis? 45. So give him 8 years, he'd be 53. Again, if you're looking for the youngest candidate, if you're going to go strictly by age, then you're going to go to Vivek, who's 38, 5 years younger than DeSantis, if my ciphering is correct. But that's really not where it's going to come down to. It's not going to be the age. It's going to be on what you think the candidate can or cannot do. DeSantis is right. There will be a scorched earth policy and an effort to make sure Trump does not win. It's already been going on. And, of course, you have the third-party candidates coming forward. You've had the other day, Cornel West apparently is still in the running. You had Jill Stein come forward and saying she's going to run. Then you've got Manchin, Senator Manchin, who says he's not going to run for re-election West Virginia. He's looking around, gauging pulse, so forth. And there's that no labels party that might attract him. Let me give you a response, though, of somebody who's really far, far left. Very talented in stuff he was doing when he was on the screen. And even his directing. He directed Sleepless in Seattle. Had his mom in it. You remember the scene where they're at the dinner and Tom Hanks is trying to woo the lady. I'm drawing a blank on her name. See, there's my dementia showing up. But anyway, and she's talking about faking orgasms. He said, oh, you can't, Brenda. She said, I can't. And she just goes on and on to everybody in the restaurant's turning to look at her. Then they cut to an older woman, and the waiter is saying, ma'am, what would you like? That was Rob Reiner's mother. And she said, I'll have what she's having. It's a good line, good piece. And Rob Reiner is Meathead in Archie Bunker. First of all, you couldn't get the Archie Bunker program back on TV nowadays, not with all the political correctness. But Rob Reiner has shown his full liberal stripes, and he is saying right now, trying his best to shame supporters of any third-party presidential candidate. He says, the only way to defend American democracy is to vote for President Joe Biden. Basically, he's saying a vote for anyone else is a vote for Trump. A vote for no labels is a vote for Trump. A vote for Bobby Kennedy is a vote for Trump. A vote for Cornel West is a vote for Trump. A vote for Jill Stein is a vote for Trump. He said the only not vote for Trump would be for Biden. The latest numbers show, this one coming again from NBC, the president's approval ratings trending downward since January. This is Biden. 46% approved of him in January, 43% in April, same in June, 41%, 41% in September, November, 40%. And the real shift is in the age of voters, 18 to 34. In September, 46% of them said they approved of Joe Biden's performance. Now he's down to 31% of that group. So DeSantis asked in question again about what if Trump fails?
He's running on many of the same things he promised to do in 2016 and didn't deliver. For example, he said he was going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. Jake, he didn't build the wall and Mexico sure didn't pay for it because you would not have been able to have 8 million people come in illegally if we had a fully constructed wall. He also said he would drain the swamp, and yet the swamp is more powerful than ever. So he didn't do it the first time. I don't know what makes you think he's going to do it this time, but he should show up to debate, prove that he can sit on that stage for 2 hours, defend his record, defend his decisions, and tell people why he should be the choice going forward. Because what I've made the point is simple. Donald Trump's a high-risk proposition as a nominee because I think the chance of him getting elected is small, but it's a low reward because he's going to be a lame duck on day one. Even if he could get elected, he would not be able to attract the type of talent to work in his administration, and he'd be saddled with all these distractions that it'd be virtually impossible to get the job done.
That might be a valid point, those he could attract to work for him, and of course, what would happen inside the Senate and the House? Now, last night they had the election for a new president in Argentina. The New York Times is already comparing the new president to Donald Trump, and not in a good way. Tucker Carlson did an interview with him, and of course, they're already pointing out some of the comparisons. They say it's a lurch to the right for a nation struggling under an economic crisis, and then also pointing out that this guy has only had no more experience in being on TV and a rock band and things of that nature. In other words, they're saying he's so much like Trump, how could they possibly not see the comparison? But there's a bigger issue in their mind. They are pointing out other things. He's 53 years of age now. And Tucker Carlson did an interview with Javier Milei before the election.
We're in downtown Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina. This was once, about 100 years ago, one of the richest cities in the world. And you can tell as you walk around the faded grandeur of a once great city. But this is now a desperate country. Its economy is in shambles, has been for a long time. Argentina famously defaulted on its debt more than 20 years ago. But now hyperinflation has made this country genuinely desperate. You see it when you have dinner here in restaurants and people pull out bricks of local currency, the peso, to pay. It feels like Weimar or Zimbabwe, but it's not. This is a developed country that's moving backwards at high speed.
At high speed. Now, you heard Tucker Carlson say their economy is kind of like Lebanon. You know what the inflation rate is in Lebanon? For the average over the last 12, 15 years, it's been 36%. is forecast to be 176% inflation rate this coming year. In Argentina, the value of a peso, an Argentina peso, to the U.S. dollar is 0.0028. Not even 3 cents. Not even 0.03. It's 0.0028. So Tucker Carlson sat down with Malay and was asking him a number of questions. He responds in Spanish, so you don't really get the answer, but I want you to hear some of the thought process going into Tucker Carlson's interview.
And because of the frustration that has built up among the population, particularly among poor people, a man called Javier Milei is poised to become its next president. He's a former soccer star, a goalie, a performer in a Rolling Stones cover band, and a libertarian economist. He's not a libertarian in the traditional American sense. He wouldn't fit into the Cato Institute, which has attacked him for liking Donald Trump too much. He's a libertarian in the traditional sense. He believes people should have the maximum amount of freedom they can be given, which is a lot, much more than they now get in Argentina. He has moved from basically nowhere in the last several years to become maybe the most famous person in this country. The election is next month in October, and once again, it seems like he's likely to win.
And in fact, he did. As I said, the interview was done before the voting yesterday. Now, he considers himself to be a liberalist, but he pointed out in the interview a liberal, let me put it that way. He says, the difference in the U.S. meaning or American meaning of liberal is different than mine. In ours, we believe respect for all life and respect for everyone. So, yes, he is pro-life. That's a point that Tucker wanted to deal with as well.
The reception he's gotten from the press in the West, particularly in the United States, the New York Times, the Washington Post, also the Financial Times, has been hostile. To put it mildly, they describe him as a far-right figure, like he's a Nazi. Is he? We sat down with him at great length just a moment ago, here right across from the president's mansion, the Pink House that he hopes to soon occupy, to find out what he's like. He didn't seem very radical. Continuing what they're now doing in Argentina seems radical, in fact, insane.
It is pretty insane. And when your economy has gone that deep into the S-hole, as Trump would have said, what are you going to do to get out of it when they've already defaulted on what they do owe? So anyway, this, quote, far-right libertarian, according to the New York Times, as they call him, has already drawn comparisons to Donald Trump as their next president. It's going to be a lurch farther to the right, they see. He did say, I want to tell all Argentines and all political leaders and all those who want to join the new Argentina, you are going to be welcome. But he also pointed out that we're going to fight against socialism. We're going to join the U.S., Israel as examples of fighting against socialism. We're going to attack the political caste. He said they've enriched themselves at the expense of the average person in Argentina. Today is the end of Argentine decadence. A lot of nice words. He got elected, but I don't know what he can pull off. We'll see. Israel and the world are watching how the U.S. is also responding to Israeli reaction to Hamas. Are we making a good impression, weak, or are we showing to be clueless? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And then what happens in Gaza is good for Israel, good for Palestinians, good for the Middle East. And to do that, we need to demilitarize Gaza and de-radicalize Gaza. We cannot have, it mean for the foreseeable future, Israeli overriding military responsibility so we root out the terrorists. And a civilian regime administration that cooperates with demilitarization and de-radicalization. And that can't be a Palestinian government that doesn't fight terrorism, but funds terrorism, that teaches its children to hate Israel, to work for Israel's annihilation. We need something else. We need a massive reform here, the kind that you had in Germany, the kind you had in Japan, the kind you're having in certain parts of the Arab world. That's what will ensure a bright future for the people of Gaza, for the people of Israel.
And as I said earlier, for the world. That was Benjamin Netanyahu appearing with Mark Levin's program, talking about the whole issue of who's going to control Gaza. The Biden administration has made it very clear that they do not think Israel should control Gaza. Well, at one point, Israel had all of Gaza, and then it left and left it to the Palestinians. And then Hamas came in and held an election and took control of the country. They've been in control of it for the last decade plus. Palestinians didn't want to be caught in the middle of that, but they were there. They had no options. And they knew that the military, Hamas, I should say military, that's a wrong word. These are flat out terrorists. You don't call a military a group that goes into an area of civilians and starts slaughtering them repeatedly over and over different people for whatever reason, only because they are Jewish. Regardless of their age, their fighting condition, some of the stories of what happened to some of those women and the babies. There was one piece of video, you might have seen it at one point, we now know more about the young woman that was seen. She looked like she was wearing pajama bottoms, and that might have been exactly what it was. She is being, her hands are tied in front of her, if I remember, maybe behind her, I can't recall her. She's being taken out of the back of a vehicle, then put in the back seat. Young woman, and apparently the same one they have identified that was found next to Al-Shifa Hospital once the Israeli Defense Forces got better control and got into the hospital. Well, she was, as all young Israelis are, part of the Israeli Defense Force. They all had to go through training. They all had to be serve their time in the military. It's not optional. You have to do it. Now, whether or not she carried any identification at the time they got her that showed she was a member of the Israeli military force, it didn't make a difference. They knew anyone of her age was an Israeli Defense Force operative. So they're taking her out of the back end of this Jeep or something like that, putting her in the back seat, and while she's got the pants on, you can see she's deeply stained with red between her legs. And there have been numerous reports of how women were raped over and over and over. One witness hiding in some bushes said, "I saw them pass this one woman repeatedly to others." And the last one, while he was raping her, shot her in the head. Now, you want to justify that? Anyone out there want to tell me that that's what PLO wants to stand for? And Netanyahu is saying, if we're really going to have a future and live together, we cannot let a group like Hamas get control. That's why he says we're going to exterminate every last one of them, and then we are going to maintain security in Gaza. Not going to occupy it. That's not our intent. But we're going to have a say in security measures. And well, they should. Would you do it any differently if it had happened with neighbors around you coming into your house? Would you not step up security and maintain it? And maybe if you could, you're going to put some security forces inside each of the houses of your enemy to keep an eye on them all the time. This last weekend, I'd mentioned the first hour, but it bears repeating again. They were having the Harvard-Yale football game. And there's a sign being paraded around saying, "Give us one hostage, we will give you 500 Harvard faculty or students." Because so much of the Harvard faculty has denounced Israel and supported Hamas in what I just described. And many of the students have. On one hand, it was somewhat humorous, somewhat enlightening, somewhat shocking, and at the same time true in the sense of what we've done in this country with our institutions of higher learning. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, in speaking on Mark Levin's program last night, took note of that very fact.
I mean, this is a moral indictment of higher education in the West, that you have colleges and campuses that are aligning with the new Nazis and not with those who are fighting them. The second thing on the hospitals, this is not the hospital you know. It's not what you see in your neighborhood. It's hospitals that have been commandeered by Hamas, used as command and control centers. We found weapons, we found ammunition, and there were plenty of terrorist chieftains there and their terrorist subordinates, and they fled when we entered. So these are not hospitals. We were able to clear them out without, happily, without combat, without a firefight. But we have to, we cannot allow them to have these safe havens in hospitals.
Well, CNN did its own report saying, here's what we found. For weeks, the IDF had said Hamas had been using Gaza's largest hospital as cover for the infrastructure below ground, command, control center, and other places. And they point out that when he presented some of the information on it, they published an intelligence-based illustrated video of what it claimed to be the Hamas headquarters, 3D diagram of the hospital, and then added, CNN cannot independently verify Israel's claims that Hamas is operating a command and control center from the hospital. Right there. I have no problem with CNN saying they cannot independently verify, but they were damn well willing to rush to the air with a report when Hamas said Israel fired a rocket into that same hospital. And the information came from the Hamas propaganda machine. They didn't look for independent verification. They just ran with it. U.S. officials have also declined numerous times on how to corroborate Israel's claims, saying we don't have anybody there. So they say over the weekend, IDF took CNN and others into a newly exposed tunnel they say was used by Hamas. Appears to be substantial. Remains of a ladder hanging over the opening. A pole that looked like a hub for a spiral staircase. And they showed it led down something like 55 meters long, 10 meters underground, the end of the tunnel, a metal door. Now, and they have a cache of weapons laid out. Military also giving several videos it said showed that Hamas was in the hospital, taking hostages through the hospital, then into the tunnels. They didn't say exactly how they got all of it, but they even had one person appearing on a bleeding on a gurney being pushed along with the other hostages. Ron DeSantis was asked on CNN about what he thinks Israel should be able to do with Hamas right now.
I think Israel needs to do what it's best to defend themselves. I would note Gaza was not under Israeli occupation. They pulled out in 2006. They uprooted thousands of their own Israeli citizens and forced them to leave the Gaza Strip. And the idea was give the Arabs down there an opportunity to make something of it. And unfortunately, they turned to Hamas. And Hamas used money to build a big terrorist infrastructure and ultimately wage attacks for many years. And then the devastating October 7th attack. Israel cannot allow history to repeat itself.
Right, but what comes next? I mean, I think that you would agree probably that Israel occupying Gaza is not going to result in peace in the region. Do you think that there should be a Palestinian state where Gaza is?
Oh, I mean, I think that that would end up becoming a hotbed of terrorism. I think we need to let Israel win this war. We should support them publicly and privately to actually finish the job. Because if you just do some glancing blows, Hamas reconstitute itself, we're going to end up in this same cycle going forward.
Yeah, you would be, and it would repeat itself over and over. Wash, rinse, repeat. That's exactly what it would be. Hamas is also denying suggestions that they had any hostages going through the hospital to get to the tunnel, saying any hostages we took to the hospital, they needed treatment. But shared footage shows that they were brought into the hospital before being moved to hiding spots and didn't show to be any direct injuries and needing medical treatment that were visible. The Israeli Defense Forces saying again, we found one room in the hospital with numerous technological assets, military and combat equipment. Hamas's reaction? Baseless lies. Riddle me this. Who are you going to believe? Those who crossed the border, shooting and killing innocent people, repeatedly raping the same woman over and over again, many of them. You going to believe them, or are you going to believe the tunnel that obviously had been there long before October 7th, one of many? And don't forget how many we might have be coming across our border because it's open. What happened to that effort to impeach Mayorkas? That coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beale roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What happened in the House the other day? Marjorie Taylor Greene comes up with a motion to move forward on impeaching Alejandro Mayorkas. There's clearly a dereliction of duty, and yet it fails.
Well, look, not just a dereliction of duty, he has lied repeatedly to Congress, which is an offense to our nation. He needs to be gone. I voted in favor of firing Mayorkas or expelling him, impeaching him is the proper term. Others did not. They wanted to see it go through regular order, go back to the committees where we'll have hearings, impeachment hearings. And maybe they have a point there. We need to get all the facts out for the American people. But this is taking way too long. We do not have time to wait. That guy needs to be out of a job.
Good. Get him out of a job. That was Congressman, Missouri Congressman Mark Alford, in response to a question from Maria Bartiromo. What happened to that Marjorie Taylor Greene impeachment resolution? Well, eight House Republicans broke from the party last week to vote against the resolution. The chamber shelved the resolution first introduced by Marjorie Taylor Greene, 209 to 201. So if those eight Republicans hadn't broken from the party, he would be under impeachment right now. So they basically blocked it from coming to the House floor for a vote. She is planning to force a new vote. Of course, we got a short week now. She accuses Mayorkas of violating the Secure Fence Act, a 2006 law that demands perfection at the border by declaring the border operationally secure only if no people or contraband improperly enter the country. We know it is not secure. Not operationally secure, not secure by any means. Congressman Malford in that same interview said, Mayorkas lies more than Pinocchio. Got a nose that big and growing. sits there and just, well, Senator, we're aware of everything and we've got it under control. You have nothing under control. Why did these Republicans break ranks? Well, they have different reasoning, but let me give you the names. North Carolina Congressman McHenry, McClintock of California, Duarte of California, Fox, North Carolina, Issa of California, Benz of Oregon, Buck of Colorado, Turner of Ohio. Now, Buck has already said he's not going to run for re-election. Duarte, again, of California, said, I'm going to oppose any impeachment because it hasn't gone through regular order. I'd rather have an impeachment debate, but it would take up too much time when we're trying to avert a potential shutdown. Yes, that was on the table, had to be dealt with too. So is money for Israel. $14.5 billion, still not approved. Because Chuck Schumer said we need to approve it ASAP. We'll not approve what the House sent him because it's not tied to Ukraine money. And more money for the border, which would really be used as money to process the people through the border faster. And then McClintock, again, one of those who voted against in the impeachment at that point, Tom McClintock of California, said the House made a mockery of impeachment twice during the last session of Congress. He's talking about led by Nancy Pelosi. He said if these clear constitutional principles are not restored, now that power will be just one election from being turned against the constitutionalist on the Supreme Court or upon any future Republican administration. I understand that. I understand that issue that we got to watch how you throw the word in the impeachment order around. I understand also Duarte's fact that we got other things we need to deal with. But you could have gone ahead and voted because it wouldn't happen immediately anyway. I'll be looking to see how these eight vote once we get back around to it. Mayorkas should have been out a long time ago. And I don't need to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene's, 2006 Secure Fence Act. I go to him taking the oath, as every cabinet member does, as the president did. I swear to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And last week in testimony, Christopher Wray admitted, yes, we have terrorists inside the country. No, we don't know how many, and no, we don't know where they are. And then President Xi comes from China. And Biden did not ask him, why are you sending military-age men across our border in the dark of night or even during the day? Didn't ask that question. Should have been one of the first questions. But Biden is compromised in so many ways with the Chinese, I don't know if we'll ever really understand the full story. You cannot have a country if you don't have the border. It's as simple as that. Now, we're used to in this country, if you want to drive from New York State to the state of California, nobody stops you. You don't have to prove your ID, that you're from New York or anything, unless you violate a law along the way or are suspected of violating one. In Europe, you're traveling between countries, you're going to have to present a passport every time you go through a checkpoint. If you're going to go from the U.S. into Canada, you have to show it. If you're going to go from the U.S. into Mexico, you have to show it. But these coming across our border, they don't have no stinking passport. They don't have nothing but a story. I'm seeking asylum because they've learned that's the way you get in, claim asylum. And yes, we do provide asylum under our immigration laws. But now it's been abused. It's as abused more so than the impeachment issue has been abused. Now, I mentioned earlier, and in case you missed it, remember you can always go to Larry Connors USA and pull it up. Tucker Carlson talking about the new president of Argentina, Javier Milei. His personal background, soccer player, rock band. And he admits they probably got voted in because of that, but also because he is liberal Argentina has embraced socialist ideas for 100 years. He points that out. He said, but right now, young people looking at what's going on, and it's not going the way they want. And in Tucker even compared it, what's happening in Argentina, to the inflation rate of Lebanon. 12 years ago, averaged 34% a year, and now it's 170% inflation rate. The Argentina peso to the U.S. dollar right now is 0.0028. 0.0028 would equal a dollar. No, it wouldn't. It would take that much to even get near a dollar. So Milei was asked by Tucker Carlson, how could anyone support all this? He said, well, it's like frogs in a hot in a pan, and the water gets hotter, a little warmer and warmer, and pretty soon they realize they're cooked. They waited too long to jump out. He also pointed out, Tucker actually pointed out, that while they are liberal, they also have some fringe leftist practices which have a lot of questions. For instance, transgenders pay a lower tax in Argentina. Now, the new president says, we're going to get rid of that. We're going to get rid of the Ministry of Women. He said, if we want equality, he said, why isn't there a Ministry of Men as well? Kind of like that. In fact, he was asked, well, what are you going to do to bring equality? Doesn't you have a DEI program? He said, we're going to get rid of it. Painting a bench, in his words, painting a bench red or writing a song praising women doesn't change things. So if equality is to be achieved, you got to have a Ministry of Men, same way. And then he adds that liberal in Argentina is a different meaning than in the States. He said liberal to us means unrestricted respect for the lives of others. Unrestricted respect for the lives of others. So Milei, even while liberal, makes it clear he is anti-abortion. Anti-abortion. And yet you got the New York Times saying he's another Trumper, full of conspiracy theories. He's going to ruin the, how could he ruin that country? Jesus, look where it is now. But he also, during his acceptance speech, offered an olive leaf to the others that did not vote for him, although he won by an overwhelming majority, 80+%. Those that didn't go for him, which would be the elites that have all the riches, he said, well, we can work together if you want to join us. Well, just in case you forgot, let me drive it home again. Today is Joe Biden's 81st birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you
so much.
Everybody, happy birthday.
I know, no, that was not for Biden. That was for JFK. Pardon me, a song by Marilyn Monroe in May 1962. But it's not going to get any better than that birthday wish, I can promise you. Looking at a piece from Jim Garrity with the National Review, and he's writing about Biden turning 81 today, and he's got some interesting thoughts I want to share. Pardon me. First of all, he points out, very few of us are at the top of our game at age 81. I don't know if Jim is 81, I don't know. I'm not anywhere. I've got 30 years, 20 years. Well, maybe a few years before I reach that. He said, you have to live as long as Henry Kissinger to think of your 80s as the good old days. He points out that in June, the New York Times reported that the president's staff, this is the New York Times pointing this out, the staff schedules most of Biden's public appearances at noon or between noon and 4 p.m. And on the weekends, leave him alone. Leave him alone. So it's suggesting that Biden probably has 20, maybe 30 good hours in him each week. Anything beyond that is open for question. An overseas trip could tire him out for 3 days. He could be tired out from his last trip, and maybe the trip to San Francisco as well, even though it wasn't overseas. I assume he knows San Francisco is not overseas. But he goes on and talks about minimizing the amount of time the president is in front of the cameras or giving unscripted remarks is just a quiet confirmation that age is taking its toll. It's not a problem about the perception of reality. It is a problem of reality. He said, the most astonishing thing is this is arguably the single most predictable problem any president has ever faced. All you need to do is look at the calendar. He also makes note, and this is interesting, back in 2019, Biden himself signaled to aides that he was only going to serve a single term. Do you remember that? Well, Jim Garrity reminds us how it went down. He said there was a lot of talk then about Biden being a bridge to a new generation of Democrat leaders. And more than a little of that talk came from Biden. In fact, he's quoting him in a March 9, 2020 campaign rally. Look, I view myself as a bridge, not as anything else. And he had Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Gretchen Whitmer all standing behind him. And he kind of referred to them saying, there's an entire generation of leaders you see behind me. They are the future of this country. But that was then, this is now. And as Jim Garrity of the National Review points out, clearly Biden hasn't been a bridge to anyone or anything if you wanted Biden to be a transitional president. Nothing more than the work of preparing the American public for President Kamala Harris. If you're going to do that, should have started that a lot earlier. So at this point, they're kind of in a stuck position. Democrats seemingly believe that democracy is at stake in 2024 if Donald Trump wins. Of course, they're going to say that. But all this footage that's now being released by Speaker Mike Johnson of the J6 committee, which they kept you from seeing, some of it, of course, Tucker Carlson had access to and did show people calmly walking through the Capitol, not causing any ruckus, did not battle with police. They get there, the doors are open, and they're basically let in, and they're just walking through. I noticed on one of the feeds today, and I didn't save it. I wish I had. It was on a Twitter feed, I believe, showing that the guy you see in this picture in the red cap, he pled guilty to something like entering a federal building without cause or something of that nature. Very nebulous charge. He thought he might, given the impression, he would get maybe 9 months, maybe 13 months. So he pled guilty just to be done with it, not fight out the legal battles. And then the government decided, we're also going to charge him with terrorism. That wasn't part of what he thought he was agreeing to. And the writer telling the story said, shortly after that, he hung himself in his garage. All he did that day was walk through the Capitol. There's no video showing any violence. As more and more of that comes out, it's going to make you think, what else was the January 6th committee keeping from us? We know a lot. We know it was already controlled by Pelosi. They weren't going to let any Republicans on that might raise a ruckus. The only ones were Kinzinger of Illinois and Liz Cheney. An NBC survey is showing that the erosion for Biden is most pronounced among Democrats. A majority of those surveyed believe Israel has gone too far in military action in Gaza. And among voters 18 to 34, 70% believe Biden has mishandled the war and has not been tough enough on Israel. One, a 40-year-old Democrat from my home state and town, Austin, Texas, said, I do not support Biden's support of Israel. Jesus, that's exactly why I'm so upset with what's happened in the state of Texas. As always, I appreciate you listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.